Natatahyagavandrajan
Puyetatapadibih
Yata Krishnarpita Pranas Tatpurusha Nishevaya.
Next.
Prabhuji's? Someone? Matajis? Vaishnavis? Now we go to the synonyms. Na,
na,
not.
Not.
Tata,
tata,
so much.
So
he,
certainly.
Agavan,
Agavan,
a man full of sinful activities.
Rajan,
O king.
Puyeta,
can become purified.
Tapa adibihi,
by executing the principles of austerity. Penance,
Brahmacharya,
and other purifying processes.
Yata,
as much as
Krishna Arpita Pranaha,
the devotee whose life is fully Krishna conscious.
Tat Purusha Nishevaya,
by engaging his life
in the service of
Krishna's representative. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord, and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and the other methods of atonement I have previously described. Is it here someone who doesn't know what atonement means? Because this is an important word which will be used. Everyone knows? Okay. So the purport goes. Tat Purusha refers to a preacher of Krishna consciousness, such as the spiritual master. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payechikeva. Without serving a bona fide spiritual master, an ideal Vaishnava, who can be delivered from the clutches of Maya? This idea is also expressed in many other places. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 says, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahur Vimukte. And the translation is, If one desires liberation from the clutches of Maya, one must associate with a pure devotee, a Mahatma. A Mahatma is one who engages 24 hours daily in the loving service of the Lord. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:13, Mahatmanastu mangparta daiving prakriti mashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadi mavyayam. Translation: O son of Prita, those who are not deluded or misled, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Thus the symptoms of a Mahatma is that he has no engagement other than service to Krishna. So what's the symptom of a Mahatma? That he has no other engagement than service to Krishna. So, one must render service to a Vaishnava in order to get freed from sinful reactions, revive one's original Krishna consciousness, and be trained in how to love Krishna. This is the result of Mahatma Seva. Of course, if one engages in the service of pure devotee, the reactions of one's sinful life are vanquished automatically. Devotional service is necessary not to drive away an insignificant stock of sins, but to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. As fog is vanquished at the first glimpse of sunlight, when sinful reactions are automatically vanquished as soon as one begins serving a pure devotee, no separate endeavor is required. The word Krishnarpita Pranaha refers to a devotee who dedicates his life to serving Krishna, not to being saved from the path to hellish life. A devotee is Narayana Parayana or Vasudeva Parayana, which means that the path of Vasudev or the devotional path is his life and soul. Narayana Para Sarve Na Kutashana Bibhyati. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Such a devotee is not afraid of going anywhere. There is a path toward liberation in the higher planetary systems and a path toward the hellish planets. But the Narayana Para devotee is unafraid wherever he is sent. He simply wants to remember Krishna, wherever he may be. Such a devotee is unconcerned with hell and heaven. He is simply attached to rendering service to Krishna. When a devotee is put into hellish conditions, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tat tenu kampang sushamikshamanaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-8. He does not protest. Oh, I'm such a great devotee of Krishna. Why have I been put into this misery? Instead, he thinks, this is Krishna's mercy. Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative. This is the secret of success. So that's the end of the purport. So if you want to join me, we can together sing the Mangala Sharana prayers. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrayatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitansha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Yagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Gaur. So Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Yayam Udirayet. So before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances onto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, onto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So I will read the verse again. Natata yagavan rajan puyetata padibhi yata krishnarpita pranastat purusha nishevaya. Translation. So this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to King Parikshit. So Shukadeva Goswami says, my dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and the other methods of atonement I have previously described. So one could think that after the fifth canto, because we just finished the fifth canto, which was extremely intense canto, and so one could think, okay, let's hope next canto is little less intense. But no, if you read through what the sixth canto is all about, there's a lot of drama, there are cursings, and some revenge is there. And then there are the sinful reactions of Indra and so on. So it seems like there is no time to relax, because Parikshit Maharaj, he has only 7 days. Only 7 days, so there is like, we can't relax now, we have to go through this, all of these subject matters. And after hearing the fifth canto, Parikshit Maharaj, he's very naturally, he's a Vaishnava. So Vaishnava means very compassionate. Compassionate towards the conditioned souls who are suffering. Especially he was thinking about the people who are suffering in hell. And then he suggested to Shukadeva Goswami that, please, can we go back to and try to speak about what is liberation? And Shukadeva Goswami, he was talking about this in the second canto. And the first question in the sixth canto is asked by King Parikshit in verse number 6. So he says, O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. So it must have been like very terrible to hear about all of these hellish conditions for Vaishnava like Parikshit Maharaj. So naturally this question comes, how can they be saved? And of course he is a king, and what does kings do? One of the job descriptions is to punish and to have like, in order to have the society in order. So this question was kind of leading naturally to the question of atonement. Which atonement is really working and which one is not? If anyone has an experience of the result of punishments, that's King Parikshit, no? So the punishment had some effect. As we all know, punishment have some effect. But what's the problem about punishment? Does it really help? You continue doing it again, yeah. Yeah, so that was like Parikshit Maharaj really like intense question, like we have to do something about this. It can't be like that. There must be a way out. So, does anyone remember what His Holiness Bhaktivedyapurna said? Bhaktivedyapurna Swami said, like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago in the lecture he was speaking up when it comes to punishment. I mean, there is a purpose. It functions. It has a function. Does anyone remember? Even if it doesn't take away the sinful desire, there is a function anyway. So the function is actually to keep the society peaceful. Some kind of order has to be there. So that's the function. It's not that it takes away the sinful desire to repeat the criminal activity again. Yeah, to help other people to not do it. Yeah, some can learn from that. That's true. So Maharaj Parikshit said, punishment and atonement doesn't remove the repetition of sinful acts. It just serves the human society by keeping a certain order of peace. If it would not have been for punishment, the world would have been a terrible place to live in. And to balance this up, so Srila Prabhupada is saying, in the fifth canto, 26th chapter, verse number 6, he says, the conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification, they are allowed to enjoy their senses under certain regulative principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them in order to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. So I think that was very, very important, which actually Karunamai brought it up in a question that so Yamaraj, his intention with this punishment is actually to help people to come to Krishna consciousness. By the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses, but continue to live within the material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. So what to do with this, the conditioned souls? So this is the eager question of Maharaj Parikshit. If punishment doesn't help, actually in Sweden we say, there is a saying which says, envis som synden, and it means as stubborn as sin, which is actually correct. Sin is very stubborn. You try to take it off, but then it comes back in another form. So as a Vaishnava, Maharaj Parikshit was compassionate and he was expressing this intense desire. And he was saying that atonements, this kind of atonements, they are useless. And Sukadeva Goswami, he agrees. He says, persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulation of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is free from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless because this will not uproot one's desire. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth. Does anyone agree with this? That real atonement is perfect knowledge in Vedanta? One. Mahatma Prabhu, you agree? In this conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, we see how Sukadeva Goswami does not lead, he doesn't lead his disciple directly, he doesn't answer directly the question, how can one be purified? First he wants to test his disciple's intelligence. So therefore he says that atonement should be done through the Karma Kanda process, the path of fruitive activities. How do you atone through the Karmakanda process? It's by following the Dharma Shastras like Manu Samhita. And Maharaj Parikshit, he doesn't like the suggestion. No, not Karmakanda. No, it doesn't help. It's like an elephant's bath, he says. So the elephant takes bath, and then as soon as he goes out, he again puts all the dirt on top of him. So so then the next suggestion from Shukadeva Goswami is Jnana Karma, Jnana Kanda, sorry. So progressing from Karma Kanda to Jnana Kanda, he's proposing Prayashitam Vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. So that is also rejected. So we can't make atonement through Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Not completely. So finally the answer to Maharaj Parikshit's question comes in the verse number 15. And he says, only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. Hari Bol Jai. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So does anyone know what unalloyed means? Without any? Separate. I just mean the word unalloyed, if you know. Not mixed, yeah. Yeah, so this we speak about, when we speak about metals, it's like the pure metal without mixture of other metals. And then there is another explanation. It also means complete. Complete means having all the necessary or appropriate parts. And then it's also about emotion, unalloyed emotion is unreserved. So this is like important to understand, because I myself, I don't know English so well, so I always have to look up these words in the dictionary, but they are like crucial to really understand, because Prabhupada was really choosing the correct words. He was very, very careful to choose the correct words in his books. So so then Srila Prabhupada in verse 15, he explains, if one is advancing Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. So if we know that actually I have made some advancement, then it means I'm not into sense gratification. I just want to serve. So there we can test ourselves. So both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance. Because a living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna, he has no need to act for personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes or give up his attachment for pious and impious activity and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. So this is a very important point. What will satisfy Krishna? So if we start our day and we go through our days like that, what will satisfy Krishna? So how, if I send my rounds, how will Krishna be satisfied? Does anyone know how Krishna is being satisfied? Attentive chanting, yeah. So why is unattentive chanting not so pleasing? He wants our attention, yeah. So it's like, I think it was Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. I hosted him one time and he came and he spoke about attentive chanting. He was giving a very nice example that he was invited to a meeting. When he came to the meeting, then the devotees were like completely ignoring him. They were looking at their SMS or this or that. And he felt very, very bad. Like, he was completely ignored. So then, from that, he could understand, oh, So this is actually how Krishna feel when I don't, you know, when I'm not attentive with my rounds. So, and I also saw some examples of some Dr. Emoto from Japan. He was doing some experiment with rice and organic things. And they were having like three types of rice. And to one rice, they were projecting the emotion hate. To the other rice, they were projecting the emotion love. And to the third rice, they were projecting nothing. They were just ignoring it. So I think the rice was in water or something. So the question was, which one will putrefy first? So which one do you think was ruined first? The one which had love, hate, or which one was ignored? Huh? Yeah, the one which was ignored, actually. So then we can see that in children also. They prefer to be hated than ignored, actually. So some of them are really, really naughty. Just because they want attention. Why do we want attention? Because we want to be loved. So if we can't get it in the positive way, then we do it in the negative way. But please, never ignore. So that's about the holy name. We should never ignore. Krishna is there. He's non-different from his holy name. So I'm just preaching to myself now. But I'm kind of, so many times I think I'm so busy with other things which I think are so important, but actually if I'm going to chant, I should really just do it 100% attentive. And I had some periods in my life when I was really, really chanting nicely. At least when I started to chant, actually my first round took me 1 hour. It was like every syllable, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. And to sit with a spine also, because I had been reading about how do you meditate. Actually, you sit with a spine, so that if the spine is erect, then the energy of flow is there and you can concentrate better. So I was sitting in the lotus position, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And it was very, very nice. I really felt a lot of blessings coming. But then I saw other devotees, they were not sitting like that. And then I started to imitate it, unfortunately. But I'm trying to go back to that, to sit with the spine correct and, you know, just focus on Krishna. So attentive chanting can take away all the other offenses. If we just focus on that one, attentive chanting. So so that will bring the success. So the question here, which Maharaj Parikshit is asking, is how do we overcome Maya? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita, how we overcome Maya? There is one specific verse which he I couldn't hear, but I think yes. So here's this translation. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? So there are six symptoms of surrender. You can take the mic. So then everyone, also the internet audience, have to hear this. It's very important.
There are six symptoms of surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning in his book Saranagati. Dhanya, feeling oneself fallen all the time, most fallen. And Atmanivedan, whatever I have, that is meant for serving Krishna. And Gopitavaran means feeling oneself like Krishna's cow feels. Gopti is totally dependent on Krishna for maintenance, protection, and whatever. And the Gopti Avasya Rakshave Krishna Vishwaspala. One must have faith that Krishna is going to protect me in every situation. Vishwaspala. And Bhakti Anukul Karya Rashvikar. Only accept things or only for favorable for devotional service, and rejecting whatever is unfavorable. There are six symptoms.
Yes, thank you very much. This is very important. But Prabhupada, he says something which is even more important and which is actually related to this verse of today. He says in Canto 6, chapter 17, verse 15, to surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotee also. For no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. So this is very, very important. So actually, when we start to serve a Vaishnava, what happens? We are starting to wake up from this dream. This dream that I think I am this and that and that and that. So we start to wake up. It's like a spell. It's like an illusion. A very, very deep illusion. Like when we are sleeping in the night. We take that so seriously. That we are really there. And then we wake up. It's like, oh, fortunately, it was just a dream. But once we are there, it's such an illusion. So Krishna, he is putting us under his illusion. And that's why, because he is the one who is making the illusion, that's why it feels so real. So, but once we start serving a Vaishnava, then as Prabhupada was saying, all the sins are gone. We are actually liberated. But why do we continue to act as if we were not? Actually, we are liberated. But because we are so used to just think that we are this body or this mind, then we just continue acting and then we just do sins again. So the important thing is to understand what real knowledge is. Does anyone know what real knowledge is? Yes, Haribol. We are eternal servants of Krishna. Prabhupada explains in verse 15 in this chapter, when devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. So, and then another point which I wanted to explain is this about serving pure Vaishnavas. It's like number one actually, and it will always remain number one in our spiritual life. So why is it so important? It's about association. We go there and we associate with them. What happens when we associate with someone? We open up our heart to that person, and that person opens up his or her heart to us. And then there is an exchange of desires and emotions. So when this happens to a pure Vaishnava, we open our heart, then we have faith in them, and then we ask for the blessings and we try to serve them, and then they give their mercy to us. So in that way, we can become free. Because what does mercy actually mean? What does it mean, mercy? Getting oneself free. Yeah, as if you see the material world, and if one sees one's own position, that I'm actually in this world is called Durga. Durga means jail. So we are in jail. And when we are in jail, then we have to behave nicely. If we behave nicely, then we can make friends with those who can speak for us. So if we behave nicely, then someone can speak for us and say, can you give some mercy, like allow them to go out now because now they are good. So this can happen actually when a person is in jail, that they get this kind of mercy. They can write a letter to the king or the queen or the president or whatever, and actually get that mercy. So that's what mercy is all about, that we actually try to behave nicely, we try to serve the Vaishnavas and get their mercy. And then the Vaishnava, especially our spiritual master, he will say, "Oh, my dear Krishna, my dear Radharani, this person is well behaved. Please, can you give them your mercy?" And like that we can actually become free. Because at least I can speak for myself, to chant 16 rounds every day and follow principles and to go for Mangalarti and all of these things, it's like completely impossible for a person with this conditioning. But if I can do it, then I know, oh, this is just because my spiritual master is praying for me. If I can stay in Mayapur Dham, if I can walk around here and do service, that's because my Guru Maharaj is praying for me. So this is how we advance in spiritual life. We take shelter of pure Vaishnava. And this is what the verse is all about today. And another nice way to take association from Vaishnavas is actually to read their songs. Because their emotions, their bhava is there. And then we can get that bhava. We can get that love for Krishna. Like I can give the example of Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Jayanilo Premadana, this is the song. And he says, "He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Advaita Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunathas, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopala Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps." So if we read these songs from the Vaishnava Acharyas, then we can get this bhava. If we feel that I don't have any taste, I don't have any enthusiasm in spiritual life, then just read the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas and then all these emotions will come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So if anyone has any one question or some comment, please, if especially the senior Vaishnavas, if I said something which is against the Siddhanta, you please come with the corrections.
Hare Krishna, Madhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your very kind lesson. And I have a question, just so you see that it is better to serve Krishna's devotees than serve Krishna himself. And we can get the mercy from the devotee. And my question is, one person who is a devotee and he has a lot of preaching, but he has offended other devotees. But when his last time, he just remembered the Maha Mantra, and he chanted the Maha Mantra until he died. Does that mean that the Lord forgave his offenses and he can go back to the Godhead?
So your question is if a person who has been preaching and he also offended Vaishnavas, and at the last moment of his life he chants the Hare Krishna mantra, so what does it mean? So that's your question. Is this something which happened for real? Okay, this is something which happened for real. Okay, that's very important to know. As far as I can understand, he got the mercy. As far as I can understand, if you're able to remember Krishna at the time of death, that's mercy. Yes.
Is it means that you go back to Godhead?
If they go back to Godhead?
Yes.
I have no idea. Karunamai. You can give the mic. Bhagavad Gita? 8.5. Eight, five. Do you want me to read it? Okay. So, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone, at once attain my nature, of this there is no doubt. So he must have gone back to Godhead. I mean, Krishna is not like us. If someone does something to us, we remember that forever. So Krishna is not like that. He's very merciful. And our spiritual master is very merciful. It's not that we should try to now make as many offenses as possible, but it's like some circumstances when, like, this summer I was doing some service in one place, and devotees were like offending each other very much. And I was analyzing why. Because they were just overburdened. So sometimes it's like that. Devotees are just overburdened. And then they become irritated and this and that. And then they start speaking bad about each other. So then actually the management should try to do something about that. The devotees are overburdened and the result is Vaishnava Aparad. So it can be something like that. But if you really do Vaishnava Aparad, it can be that you really hate the person. You just are envious of it, of the person. It can also be just because of stress. So Krishna, he always knows the intention which is behind. But the Guru can also be very merciful. So we don't know. And going back to Godhead doesn't always mean that you go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. It can be that you go to Gokula Vrindavan. And there you get some further purification. But it's still considered going back to Godhead. And there are some associates of Krishna, they are always in the material world with Krishna. So they are always in the spiritual world, within the material world. Yeah. So, thank you very much. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhava.